Well, years ago, I was in Mexico during the first week of the new year. And one afternoon, I was walking through shops looking for a gift to bring back home. And I heard a commotion happening outside the shop, but I didn't really pay any attention to it. However, a flurry of activity began to swell around me. People were walking fast and heading outside, and a noise was growing. I peered out the window of the little tiendita, and I saw a crowd forming outside in the street. I tried to see more, but all I could see were the backs of people's heads. So I kept looking for a window. I looked from one window to another to catch a glimpse of what was going on, and then I found a doorway that led me through to another tiendita, and then I finally found a door outside, and I slipped onto the streets, gently navigating the crowds, but I still couldn't see. I immediately thought of Zacchaeus, who was in a crowd, and he couldn't see, and he climbed a tree. But there were no trees to climb. But I did hear something happening down the street, and I finally was able to see what was happening. I was seeing what everyone else had been waiting for. Down the road, a parade of excitement was happening. A parade of people were surrounding three people dressed as magi on stilts. Their towering figures just floated down the streets, and children were darting back and forth, trying to catch a glimpse of this spectacle. Now, it was my first and my only experience with Three Kings Day, or Tres Reyes, which is how Latin America and much of Europe celebrate Epiphany. But have you ever felt like you just cannot see what's going on? You bend your ear, you search for a window, you try a different vantage point to find that you can only get a glimpse of what's happening. You can't get the full picture. You don't think you're lost, but you know you cannot see clearly. It's kind of like swimming in a murky pond or a lake, where it really doesn't do any good to open your eyes because you really can't see well. If you've ever played the game Marco Polo, then you know what it's like to search and to not see. And most of us don't like not being able to see. But I'm not really talking about physical sight. I'm talking about a seeing of a different sort. Like the blind seer in the Odyssey, one can be blind but still see. The hymn writer talks about spiritual sight. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When I think of that, I think of the Gospel of Mark and blind Bartimaeus, who saw that Jesus was the Son of God before Christ had healed his sight. All the while, the disciples, who could physically see, seemed to be spiritually blind to what Jesus is doing. So what is it that helps us to see? I doubt the Magi were the only ones who noticed that shining star in the sky, but they were the only ones who followed. How do we notice what God is doing around us? The Magi were seekers, always looking for signs and wonders, observing the night skies for anything that is significant. They were open to God, even though they may have been unfamiliar with the God of Scripture. They were open. With these scientist travelers, we see what God can do with an open and a humble heart. On their journey, they looked to the light of the star, trusting that it would lead to something important. But don't we all wish that it would be easy to see and know God's guidance? Like the writing on the wall in the book of Daniel, or like following a bright star. I mean, the Magi saw it and they followed. That was that. But was it really that simple? I think it's easy to romanticize following the star. I mean, I can imagine I can't imagine traveling to a new land following a star. And I can hear the questions right now. Are we going in the right direction? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Wait, are we crazy? What are we doing? Have we gotten off course? Oddly enough, these questions are some of the same questions we found ourselves asking during the early days when we were considering opening a hospitality house for asylum seekers. A couple clusters of church members were meeting and praying about the possibility of what God could do here among us. We were opening our heart to it, and we asked all of these same questions. However, by opening our hearts to God in this way, we did begin to see how God might be guiding and leading us. We didn't have a star to guide us. Sometimes following God's nudgings can feel daunting. Discerning God's leading sometimes feels like you're walking in a foggy meadow. Discernment is trying to discern or understand God's guidance and direction. And the practice and discipline of spiritual direction is instructive during these seasons of discerning that we all go through. In spiritual direction, we seek God together, listening and opening our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It can be hard work, and that is why we do it together. For the Magi, it resulted in joy as they experienced the light of God working in their hearts. They had a front row seat to God's inbreaking light. The Magi studied the stars and looked for discoveries as scientists do. They opened their hearts to God and followed what they saw. This passage brings up many questions for all of us who hear it. Like, how many wise men were there? Was this a star? Was it a comet? Was it a planetary alignment? We don't know. Did the star appear and disappear? These are all good questions. But what we do know is that on their journey to a new land, the Magi stopped at King Herod's palace rest stop for directions. This is proof that there must have been a woman in the group of Magi. At the palace, though, Herod called the chief priests and teachers for advice, but they couldn't see. When King Herod heard that foreigners had come to worship a new king, he was full of fear, and all of Jerusalem feared along with him. Maybe they were afraid of what would happen when Herod's throne was challenged. Maybe they were fearful of war and casualties in its wake. Maybe they were afraid of what they didn't know or what they couldn't understand. But is it possible that fear blinded them? Is it possible that fear kept them from seeing and meeting the Christ light? Fear can prevent us from truly seeing. It can prevent us from following the nudging of the Holy Spirit. And fear is sometimes at the center of so many destructive emotions and actions. And sometimes when we're so close to something, so steeped in it, we really can't see it. For whatever reason, though, the religious insiders cannot see the forest for the trees. However, the Magi, the outsiders, can see. They followed and they met God. When the Magi found the Christ child, it's as if they were filled with light, for their first reaction was overwhelming joy and worship. And worship or adoration is an important theme found three times in this passage. In adoration, the Magi offered their gifts to the Holy Family, and little did they know that Mary and Joseph and Jesus would soon flee in the middle of the night for their safety. Maybe these gifts were provision for this family and their journey of exile into Egypt. But because of their open hearts, these humbled travelers encountered the living God, the light of the world. I imagined that the light of Christ and the heavenly star were in an endless exchange of light. And the Magi, seeing that, were just struck with joy and awe and wonder. And then God led them home in a new direction, and their trajectory changed. This is what Christ's love and light do. It changes and it remakes. How often does our trajectory change after we have encountered God's leading and encountered God's love and light? We change majors, we change jobs, we extend ourselves in hospitality in stretching ways, we give sacrificially, we invest in relationships, we let go of things, we give away things, we serve the suffering. Our lives look different because of the work of Christ's light and love in us. During the season of Epiphany, we celebrate the wonder of this very transformation. For God revealed God's self to humanity so that all might receive and be made new in the light of Christ. You've probably heard this phrase, that the light shines brightest in the darkness. And while that may be true, when you are sitting in the darkness, it may be difficult to see the light. It can feel like you're searching to see what everyone else can see, but you can only see the backs of heads. So when the light is obscured or you cannot see, we look to each other to see what the other sees. And I imagine the Magi did this for each other on their journey. I'll look for you, and you look for the light for me. Isaiah prophesied about this type of darkness, saying that a thick darkness covered the people, and the glory and the light of God rose above it. In the darkness, God shines light. So what does it say that God chose to come as a vulnerable baby when a maniacal tyrant king was on the throne? God chose to share the light of Christ in that very darkness. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may have life, lasting and whole. God came to show us how to live with light even in the darkness. And this is the joy of Epiphany. Epiphany comes from the Greek word epiphania, meaning the appearance or manifestation of God. The Apostle Paul, a religious insider, had his own little epiphany experience on the road to Damascus. Spiritually blind, closed heart, and he then was literally blinded for 3 days by the light of Christ. And he too was never the same. So in Ephesians, Paul writes and describes about what was revealed to him in that Christ light, that the light of Christ is for all peoples, for insiders and for outsiders, for those who can see and for those who cannot see. The Gospel of Matthew also begins and ends with this reality. Matthew begins with the Magi coming from the corners of the earth, and it ends with the Great Commission. And so Paul follows up with that in Ephesians 3 that was just read, commissioning the church to share the Christ's light with the world, so that through the church all may know the boundless riches of Christ. So today we bless our homes and we bless our sanctuary and our church grounds so that all who may enter here may see and experience the light and the love of Christ, so that they may know the boundless riches of Christ. When we are honest, each of us is on our own epiphany quest too. We long for the intrusion of Christ's light in a way that changes us. Worship and humility and open hearts all seem to go hand in hand with God's light breaking in and doing something new. Paul and the Magi walked a new path after seeing God in this way. So when we see the light, it changes us and it shines through us. It's not hard to find darkness in the world, and there's no shortage of pain or deception or false hopes around us. But I heard Cornel West say this week that so many of the spiritual greats are no longer with us. Our young people, our next generation, need to see spiritual and moral greatness. So our task as the people of God is to do just that, to be just that, to be the shining body of Christ. We who behold Christ's light, we share it. And as we go, we leave fragments of Christ's light scattered behind us on the way. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we open our hearts to you today. We humbly bow before you and praise you, for you are light and your love extends to all peoples. May you fill us with your love and shine the light of Christ upon us. Help us to see you, Lord, and break through into our crowded world and hearts. Heal us and change us so that we may be your people who share your light on the way. Amen.